Today on Real Life Radio.
Be enraptured with God. Delight yourself in Him. Immerse yourself in Him. Watch this. And He will give you the desires of your heart. When you immerse yourself in Him, your consciousness dwells on things that's pleasing to God. It's a blessing. Your life is a joy to God. Theology in me. It's not on the bookshelf. It's in your heart. It's in your life.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Wise Series with a message called Theology and Me, Part 2. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that we were made in God's image. But as humans, who are we? And how can we apply what we know about God to our lives? You know, God made everything beautiful in its time. And inside of each human being is the desire for purpose and order, to know and to understand that we have eternal value and a reason for our existence. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we are by nature spiritual beings. To deny the existence of God is to deny not only who we are, but our very existence. When we pursue the things of the Spirit, we are free to acknowledge who God is and to fully embrace all that He has for us. And now in his message called Theology and Me, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Think of it for a moment. God says He exists. You say He doesn't. God says I made you. You say He didn't. God says I'm spirit. You say He's not. But yet, the very existence of who you are and all of the creativity and the power to innovate, to write a poem, and all of that is who you are. And it's lived out in this apparatus, this machine. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, when I consider the heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? We read it earlier, Ecclesiastes 3, but I'll go further. Verse 1, for in everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. That's a very popular statement that wraps up the dynamic of man, which does not come from his body. It comes from man's consciousness. And who are you in that revelation? Who are you in that understanding? Think about, I'm asking you to go a little deep now, in you. Look beyond your skin, look beyond your color, look beyond your wealth, or look beyond your clothing, look beyond the facade. What do we call it? The veneer. Lift up the hood and look under, right? Peel back the shades or the covering and see what's in there. And God would ask you tonight regarding the knowledge of God, do you even know who you are? Because these guys will take you down a path. Your kids are learning this. I know I've talked to some of your kids. I've had some of your kids tell me they do not know since they've gone to college. They do not know if they actually exist. I was told to my face, Pastor Jack, we don't even know right now if this conversation is actually taking place. I said, where on this green earth did you get that? You paid the professor to teach them that. If you get somebody thinking down that path, they'll never find God. Because when they meet him, they will deny the existence of him. Because they don't even know if they're real. Literally remarkable. Number two, theology in me is, why is spirituality intrinsic to our human experience? 1 Thessalonians 5:23 tells us, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remarkable, the coming together of who you are. So bodily speaking, as we just go back and forth regarding this. Now the body, James chapter 3, verse 6 says, regarding the tongue, watch this. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it's set on fire by hell. Think of the human body. Where's your tongue? It's right in the front of everybody. Your tongue is right here. Is your tongue, if we cut your tongue out and put it on the table, can it do anything? No. Is it really going to catch the forest on fire? No. Is that thing going to jump off the table and attack us all? It says right here that it sets on fire the course of hell itself. No. It's what uses the tongue. James is saying the thing that drives the tongue, that's the problem. But you and I relate to the tongue. Our eyeballs are looking at the tongue when it's flapping at us and yelling at us. James says, watch out for that. He's connecting. You see the expression of what's inside that is using the physical being of who we are. And regarding my soul, the Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind, thinking, your soul, soulology, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus showed us how to think. Jesus showed us how to meditate. Jesus showed us how to pray, how to talk to others. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, for as he that is a man thinks, so is he in his heart. Wow. Thank God. That's why he gives us a new heart, right? When we get saved, you know, if you give your heart to Jesus tonight, you get a brand new heart. God gives you a new heart, not the one that's pumping blood. That one has limitations. But he says regarding your mind, you are to renew your mind. And this is how you renew your mind, with this. And we know this. We all know this. I'm not telling somebody something that they don't know. What you put in is what's coming out of you. Example, listen to this. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Isn't that amazing? Now, you guys all know, we agree that the heart's a electrically driven motor that pumps blood. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the inner, the consciousness of who you are. Delight yourself in the Lord. Be enraptured with God. Delight yourself in him. Immerse yourself in him. Watch this. And he will give you the desires of your heart. When you immerse yourself in him, your consciousness dwells on things that's pleasing to God. It's a blessing. Your life is a joy to God. Theology in me. It's not on the bookshelf. It's in your heart. It's in your life. Man, I've been reading at night when I go to bed. I've been reading Kings and then Chronicles with the dedication of the temple, Solomon's temple, and all the stuff that went on in Solomon's prayers. My goodness. He's standing there in all of his glory. He's Solomon. Think about it. You're going to meet him someday. You're going to see Solomon. And his prayers to God, they are definitely articulate, but he's like a child talking to a father. And God blessed him, obviously, tremendously. So you think about what's the deal with us? We are spiritual creatures, and we have to have that void answered. And a lot of people, listen, I'm not asking you to agree, I'm just asking you to consider. We have a tendency to look at people who are wrapped up in drug abuse as they're just some absolute low-life good for nothings. They honestly may have become absolutely good for nothing low lives. But that's not how they started. Were they abused, or did they? The list is infinite. We don't know. But why are they stoned? Why are they stoning themselves? Why are they drugging themselves? Why are they doing this? If you ask them in their condition, they don't even know. They'll say something like, "Oh, my parents are creeps," or "This happened," or that. But they don't. That's what happened. They don't know why they're doing it. And the reason why they're on this self-destructive course is because there's a spiritual void in their heart, and they don't even realize it's a spiritual void. That's why Jesus Christ can walk into a person's life who's stoned and blow them up with his forgiveness. But they're crying out. They're trying to fill a void of emptiness on the inside. They're spiritually empty. And so I find it interesting that many will tend towards hallucinogenic type drugs, and the Bible calls pharmakeia sorcery. It's the key. I don't know if you know this or not, but it's ancient. Hallucinogenic drugs, the word, the whole concept is a key into the spiritual realm, and the Bible says that from the beginning. It's a key that unlocks your mind into a spiritual realm. Why would somebody go down that path? Because they're lost, and they're trying to find some meaning, some deliverance, some exit. And they're so close to God, but they're not. Are you with me? They're searching, but they're missing him. That's where you and I come in. To love on them and to care for them. Not to excuse them, by the way. If you're enabling somebody like that, you're just walking them to their grave. You need to love on them tough. The love of God. The love of God never condones. The love of God comes in sometimes strong. Some of you may be going through that. You need to stand firm and loving. Make sure your kid knows you love them, but make sure that they know you will not put up with this stuff. Why do I say this? For this one reason. When your kid, pray to God that when your kid begins to wake up, they'll know exactly where to run. If you try to be their friend at an hour like this, in their hour of desperation, you'll lose them because you'll be just like everybody else. You need to be that rock. You need to be that lighthouse for them to tie onto because they're lost on the inside. And listen, spiritually speaking, tonight, who's in you? What's in you? Very important to get that answered. Are you living for your body? Is that what you live for? To get all the pleasure that you can? That's what your body wants, and your mind is all on board. Your body doesn't care as long as it's engaged in the appeasement or the satisfaction of it. Your body wants the quench or the feeling or the euphoria or the, you name it. The body has its appetites. The Bible says if we live after the appetites of our body, we're dead, and it's a dead end. It's the flesh, it's the world, and it comes in. But if we pursue, seek the things of the Spirit, we're filled with life, and we experience life. So you ask yourself tonight as we wrap this up, where are you in this? What really animates your life? Maybe you're even here tonight, or maybe you're watching right now and participating in religious things makes you feel a little better. But you always find yourself going back to that fleshly demand, that fleshly appetite. God would have you tonight experience his liberty. The Bible says in Galatians 5, verse 1, that you can stand strong tonight in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. You no longer need to be entangled in those things anymore. Do you know that? Are you really free? Are you free? Are you radical? Listen, are you? I mean, I know that we're humans and we fall short, and we're going to deal with temptations and battles. But are you free to live for God? The liberty of this. He said, "I want that. Wouldn't it be amazing? You know the stuff that pulls on you, or the people that pull on you, the things that pull at you, and you're victim to those things." You're a puppet to those things. Wouldn't you like to be free from those things? Yeah, there's only one way. It's to get that void filled. And it's Jesus Christ. It's the very one who died for you is the one who made you. Isn't that amazing? The very one who died on the cross for you, the Bible says, is the exact same one who in eternity knew you in his mind. Think of that. C.S. Lewis said, to try to relate to God, the closest thing that we can do is to consider or to look at God as being a mind. Because we can't come in. God's not as, he's not physical. The Bible says he's spirit. Think of it. So listen, let's pray tonight. Maybe tonight's your night to have your life changed. Maybe tonight's the night for you. Maybe something clicked tonight. Say, yeah, man, that's all I'm doing. I'm waiting for church to get out so I can go goof off. Well, maybe God has spoken to you tonight. Let's pray. Fathers, we come this evening to this moment. Lord, we ask in the name of our precious Jesus that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would move in this place tonight. And Father, that minds would be thinking. I thank you that you're the God of the mind and of the heart and of the body. It just is so right because you made us. And Lord, just like when we have a car that's acting up or a computer, we don't take our computer to Ford and we don't take our Ford to Apple. And Lord, we have taken our bodies and our minds to all kinds of places in our life, but they were the wrong places. And we put burdens upon people, thinking, maybe hoping that they would be the meaning of our life, that they would be our fulfillment and our happiness. And we've missed you. That tonight the answer to a lonely, empty, sin-filled soul is Jesus Christ. Tonight, my friend, whoever you might be, gonna ask you tonight to think and to make a decision this evening. Jesus said, if you acknowledge me in this world, here, before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father, which is in heaven. Jesus said, if you deny me, I must deny you. And everyone Jesus called, he called publicly. Even Nicodemus, eventually, who came to him by night, revealed his faith at the foot of the cross, and he went public for Jesus. My friend, tonight I'm asking you to not listen to your fears any longer. I'm asking you to not listen to your friends. No one's gonna hold your hand into eternity. You go there alone. But as I said on Sunday, Jesus said if a man, a person, a woman, a boy or girl would die believing in him, yet shall ye live. In that moment of death, don't think for a moment that when your body dies, you go into annihilation mode or a non-consciousness. That's a lie from Satan himself. The Bible's very clear. When you leave this body, you are very awake and you're very you. But are you going to go to heaven? Tonight, I'm going to ask you as we sing this song, I'm going to ask you to take, as it were, you standing up in your body, coming down this aisle and standing at the foot of this platform. And as you come, I want you to be thinking in your mind that you are bringing to your Creator, you're bringing yourself back to the one who made you. And as you come, this is what he wants from you. He wants you to come bringing all your sin. You know all that stuff you've been trying to hide? You haven't hidden it from him. He's asking you to bring it. So when you get up tonight and you come, you think about that, that you're standing up and you're coming with a load of guilt and shame and heartbreak and woundedness and anger and lust and hostility and pride. And you're coming and you're saying, Jesus, I want a new life. And we'll pray in a moment. As we sing this song, listen, don't ask your friend, you know, you think I should go? They're irrelevant. So let's sing a moment. You get up and you come, you stand here, and let's make a decision for Jesus tonight, finally. Tonight, the reason why you're standing up here is because something has been going on with you, not only for all of your life, but this is the moment where you have heard the voice of God and you're responding to Him. For some of you, you've come forward and it's obvious some of you emotionally affected by that. That's awesome. Some of you, not so. I want you to know that you were in the camp that I was in a long time ago. It's irrelevant of what you're feeling. It's what you're deciding. It's what the decision that you're making. This is the hour of decision. And you have willfully chosen to get up and to stand before heaven and earth and to pray the prayer that would be that which brings you to the point of receiving Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, that as many as received Him, to them, to you, He gives power to become children of God. That's the power of God. So we're going to pray. This prayer, listen, I'm going to lead you in this prayer, but it's not a magic prayer. You got to mean it. It's not the construction of the prayer. It's if you mean it. So you ready? Let this fall from your lips. Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Put your life in me, Jesus. I don't want religion. I don't want a list. I want you. I invite you to take total control of my life. Tonight I confess Jesus Christ, having died for me at the cross and rose again from the dead, I declare Him to be my Lord and Savior. And I give you my life, Jesus. Save me from my sins. Save me from my life. Make me new. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called Theology and Me, Part 2. Thanks for being here today. You know, Theology and Me, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. It's a series that brings to light the foundation of human creation and why we exist in this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, are you ready to pursue all that God has for you? Your journey starts by filling your heart, your mind, and your spirit with the truth of God's Word. At jackhibbs.com, we've got a wealth of information to keep you on that right path. jackhibbs.com has an easy way to navigate through whatever you're looking for. For instance, when you click on the Media tab, you'll find options like Real Life TV and our Real Life Radio broadcasts, along with Pastor Jack's podcast called Real Life Talk. You'll also find Pastor Jack's current teachings, verse-by-verse Bible studies, and live streams from the pulpit. Do you need to catch up on a particular Bible study? That's easy. Simply hit the search icon. You'll find just what you need. All the media that Pastor Jack has to offer right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.